Three members of the soccer squad, but 24-year-old reserve goalkeeper Jackson Foreman had to have his right leg amputated. A clean-up is underway at an apartment complex in East Linfield in Sydney's north after a water main burst in the building around 3:20 this morning. 10 units have been damaged by water and 10 cars submerged in the underground car park. 12 residents were forced to evacuate. Residents living near Australian defence bases where there's been major chemical contaminations will get free access to blood testing from today. Oakey in Queensland and Williamtown in New South Wales have been the worst affected by firefighting foam, which was used on 14 defence bases around the country and seeped into soil and groundwater. And tornadoes have ripped through Mississippi and Alabama in the US, killing at least 3 people and injuring 4 children when a daycare centre was destroyed. The National Weather Service received 27 reports of tornadoes as the storm system moved through the US South, destroying homes and businesses. In sport, Melbourne City have defeated Sydney FC 1-0 in the FFA Cup final in front of 18,000 fans. Tim Cahill scored the only goal of the match with a classic header from the edge of the six-yard box, while skipper Bruno Fornaroli was voted man of the match. Melbourne City have a short turnaround into the A-League with a match against Brisbane on Saturday night. In the Australian PGA, Ryan Fox, Paul Waring and Jeff Drakeford share the lead at 3-under. 6 players are tied at 2-under. Scott Hend will tee off at 11:25 Queensland time with Marcus Fraser and American Harold Varner III. Wallabies coach Michael Checker says he fears more Australia players will be lost to European club sides that are cashed up. The ARU is facing a battle to keep some of the country's best talent, with Rory Arnold, one of the more recent players linked to a move to France. The Wallabies will meet England at Twickenham on the weekend. They'll be without Will Genia, who's returned to his Paris club. Australian snowboarder Belle Brokhoff has won the first event of the season in the Europa Cup in Austria overnight, and Australian UFC middleweight contender Rob Whittaker may have a better idea of his next opponent, with US media outlets predicting 3 possible rivals, with number 5 contender Gegard Mousasi as the most likely of the 3. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Come along to Proven Thoroughbreds Open Morning with John Thompson at his Randwick Stables in High Street this Sunday from 9:30. You might just find the next Sir John Hawkwood. Register your attendance by emailing jamie@proventhoroughbreds.com.au. AFSL 31464.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The man shave helped my dad lose weight and feel better. Now dad takes me to the park and we play footy.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
Celebrate Christmas with Bingley's 24 Days of Hot Christmas Deals. The latest online catalogue is out now and is jam-packed with bargains. So head into a Bingley store or online at bingley.com.au and grab a deal during Bingley's 24 Days of Hot Christmas Deals.
Sky Sports Radio has all the summer racing covered right around Australia. And this Saturday, Group 1 racing continues in Perth.
Perfect Reflection, though, gave them Winburn with 150 to go. She's raced away.
Will Perfect Reflection make it successive wins in the Kingston Town Classic? Or can a Kiwi called Kawi take the money? Racing HQ brings you daily updates. And on Saturday, you'll get all the latest interviews and tips for Ascot. Your home of the Perth Summer Carnival. Sky Sports Radio. Proven Thoroughbreds offer exceptionally bred two-year-olds by Commands, Jimmy Choo and Melbourne Cup winner Americane. See them at John Thompson's Randwick Stables in High Street this Sunday morning from 9:30. Register your attendance by emailing jamie@proventhoroughbreds.com.au. AFSL 301464.
Your up gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is! Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP for the pilot. Mark Marquez, another in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
Good morning, everyone. Sean Cosgrove and Tab the Condor. Are you, Jared Middleton? How are you, Jared?
First day of summer, Cozzy. Couldn't be better. How are you?
Yeah, it is actually. I'm good. It is actually officially the first day of summer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Time to frolic in your bikini, mate.
I wondered. I saw Hossie's here in board shorts. He's just getting right into the mood of it, too, and he's running around here, thongs on. It's not a good look. But anyway, he's happy. That's the main thing.
That's the most important thing. So, Melbourne City, Cozzy.
Oh, yeah.
FA Cup last night. And
Timmy Cahill.
Yeah, he just produces, doesn't he? Yeah. I was having a debate with someone in the office here just before. He's got to be our greatest ever socceroo. And, look, he just produces in the big moments. Come at the man, come at the moment. Tim Cahill's there as far as Australian football's concerned.
Yeah, well, Matty Windley joins us now. Morning, Matt. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you going?
Good. Well, as Jared said, Tim Carr, what a good investment's been.
I think he's already paid back the investment, I think. I mean, yeah. I was talking to Alex Wilkinson about it from Sydney FC the other day, because obviously he played for Melbourne City earlier on, and so I wrote about it for our Melbourne newspaper, and he just said, we're on red alert, you know, for a big Tim Cahill goal. Say what you like about the investment in him and whether or not his form's been great, you know, for 90 minutes each week, but he scored that awesome goal against Melbourne Victory in round two in his debut, and then he scored when he went back to Western Sydney. And then, of course, he had to score the only goal of the match when Melbourne City win their first men's title. It's written in the stars. He's given A-League promoters and Melbourne City promoters enough gold to last the lifetime, and, it's already money well spent.
Well, I suppose it's easier to say now, but it's almost what we expect, isn't it?
And that was the pressure on him coming in. Like, it was hard to think about how he could possibly live up to the expectations that are on him, because I think, and I've had a lot of people say to me, oh, he's not playing that well, is he? I think it shows a lack of understanding of what, if anyone thought that he was going to come to the A-League and dominate and be the best player, they just didn't quite have the understanding of what it was all about. He was there for nights like last night. He was there for his experience on and off the pitch for his club. And obviously he was there to put his club and his sport more into the limelight. And he's done all of those things already. He's 36, nearly 37. He's not going to be the best player in the A-League. And he's not that kind of player anyway. But he gets in the right spot at the right time in the big moments. And that was exactly the case last night. And credit also too to his Socceroos teammate, Ivan Vranić, who, for all intents and purposes, could have had his career over a few months ago. He had a real heart scare and suffered a really bad virus that was affecting his heart. He was laid low for a few months, and he thought that he may not get back. And here he is, just exactly like, for fans that remember the 2014 World Cup, the game against Chile, where Vranić found Cahill perfectly to score. It was exactly the same last night. Those two have got a great bond, and I know for a fact that Tim is very, very glad that Ivan is back in the side.
Now, Matt, just to the big issues, I mean, for those who didn't see the game last night, there was a back pass and a seagull got taken out. Have you got any update as to the health of that seagull, Matt?
I think he is fit for selection. It's a very important weekend still coming up. We've had a big backlog of games in Melbourne. We've got two more in the next couple of nights, Friday night and Saturday night. So we need all the seagulls out in force, because you know how much we bloody love them. I think he will be there tomorrow night for Melbourne Victory vs Perth, which is a great news for all seagull watchers out there. That was fantastic. I think the seagull was trending around Australia on Twitter. And, he almost stole the limelight from Melbourne City on their big night. Almost.
And how significant for the club is that, Matt, considering the investment, of course, who their owners are, to get that first trophy?
Huge, yep. And the parallels with Manchester City are quite funny in terms of, I think it was 34 months, so rough there or thereabouts, that Manchester City won their first title, an FA Cup, after beating Manchester United in the semi-finals. And then for their sister club, Melbourne City, 1 month more, after the City takeover, after beating their local rivals in the semi-final as well. So you'd hope for them, then it's onwards and upwards in terms of, you know, challenging for A-League titles. And that's what the club desperately needs in terms of, you know, keeping more fans on board. It was a great crowd last night, 18,500 for a midweek game in a cup competition that's still in its infancy. There was great travelling support from Sydney FC, but they probably only still numbered, you know, close to 1,000, if that. And, you know, you have VIPs and whatnot. So the majority of those fans in the stands last night were Melbourne City fans. It was clearly the biggest crowd they've ever had outside of a derby game. And now the key is to make sure that those fans come back each and every week, so that Melbourne City is a thriving club to really start rivaling Melbourne Victory in that sense.
Matty, they really kicked on Melbourne City, if my memory serves me correctly. Start of the previous season, they were really struggling. And at one stage, then John Van Schip, he was almost in the gun.
Yeah, 100%. Probably this time last year, he was absolutely in the gun. Yeah, they had a really slow start to the season. There were definitely mumblings about whether or not he was going to keep their job. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know the exact date, but I reckon it was almost 12 months of the day that I remember Western Sydney came here.
Western Sydney Wanderers flogged them, gave them a toweling, and I was at that game, 3-0. and they played shocking.
Yeah, they did, and the knives were absolutely out, and I wouldn't be surprised, I know this for a fact, but I wouldn't be surprised if conversations were had in the Melbourne City office as well, but he held on. They made the semi-finals last year. Probably could have, you know, even won it. You know, they were on top of the ladder with a couple of rounds to go and then fell in a heap. But this is the year, 100%, that they need to get it done. But the fact that they've already won a title goes a long way to, also justifying the decision to keep him on board as well.
And Matt, this is a gut check for Sydney FC, isn't it? After such a rampaging start to the season, they're now winless in three games, including last night and a couple of draws in the A-League. The betting with tab.com.au, we got Sydney FC $4, Melbourne City $4.50, Victory $5.50, Glory $7.50, Raw $8. Mm. So that's how tight it is as far as the betting is concerned. But dollar for dollar, it's basically the same money held on Sydney FC and on Melbourne City. I mean, this is the point in the season where it could go either way for Sydney FC.
Yeah, gotta love how the worm turns. Like, I've got absolutely no doubt that Sydney will be fine. I was always, and Cozzy might be able to back me up as well, because I've probably said it to you guys, I was always really waiting to see City play Sydney for the first time, because that's the last night's the first time they've played against each other this season, and I still had that inkling that City on the day were a much better side than Sydney FC, and you play them, you know, 10 times, and I reckon City get the job done, you know, 6 or 7 with a couple of draws, and maybe Sydney win, you know, once or twice. And I think that borne out last night, and I think that'll be the way it plays out, you know, when they play against each other during the season. So, look, obviously there's peaks and troughs throughout 27 rounds plus final, and who knows what will happen in terms of the table itself, but I think, you know, in a one-off match with the talent that City has at their disposal, I'd be backing them. So if it's those two in the grand final in the, next May, which it could well be, I'd have Melbourne City as a firm favourite.
Matty, where have they improved most? Has it been attack, defence or personnel?
All of the above. I mean, the personnel clearly has helped. Last year, their attack was unbelievable, set all sorts of goal-scoring records for the A-League. They desperately needed to improve their defence because it was still very leaky, and they've managed to do that. It may have come at the expense of a couple of goals this year, but clearly when you've got someone like Bruno Fornaroli, when you've got someone like Tim Cahill, Fernando Branzan, they're going to find goals. So the fact that they've managed to patch up their defence and they're a lot more solid at the back just gives them a platform to not have to chase every single game and be in a knife fight where they're trying to score 5 goals because the opposition scored 4. So in terms of, you know, the last couple of years, it's clearly been overall, but in terms of this year, the missing piece to the jigsaw, yeah, you'd have to say it's the defence.
All right, where to from here? Now, I suppose Sydney will be a bit quiet. Brandon O'Neill was going to join us, but they've got to concentrate on the weekend now. I suppose that the other, it's a bit of a kick to them last night, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so they head to Newcastle. As I say, I've got no doubt. You know, yeah. Graham Arnold's a fantastic coach. They've assembled a fantastic team. They've got an injury list that has nobody on it. Yeah, so they're going all right. They'll clearly be in amongst the movers and shakers come the end of the season. Melbourne City, I hope that their players are nursing some sore heads this morning, because you don't often get to win a title. It's unfortunate they've got to play on Saturday night and back up soon. But I think, you know, John Manchip intimated last night that he will let the boys have a bit of a celebration. And I know that a training session today has been pushed back a fair way. So that's good, because you just never know what might happen. We expect that Melbourne City will be up there challenging for the title at the end of the year, but who knows? It may be the one and only chance that this group of players gets to win a title, so they may as well enjoy it.
Coach, give him the day off.
Exactly.
Well, you've got to let them have a bit of a reward, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, 100%. No, I know they've got a team lunch planned. I think the when I say training session, I think it would be very much just you know, the stretching and the recovery, because obviously they do have to play in 2 nights' time. So, yeah, it's a real wild card, that game against Brisbane on Saturday night. If I was, you know, your punters out there, I wouldn't necessarily be betting on that game with much confidence, because you just don't know what the come down is going to be after that. But, yeah, in terms of going forward for Melbourne City, for mine, they were at the start of the season and still very much are my pick.
All right, terrific. Matt, appreciate you coming off the bench and helping out, but great game last night, and it is nice to see an import, Timmy Cahill come back and fire, because you don't like to see him come back and not fire, do you?
Yeah, 100%. You know, there were some bad experiences with that generation of Socceroos. You know, Vince Grella, John Aloisi, yeah. There was a few others, that, you know, and they really didn't take to the criticism that they received too, because they didn't come back and set the world on fire. So I think there was a real reluctance in that part too from Tim and over the years. But now that he's back, clearly getting the accolades he deserves. And he could go missing for the next 15 weeks. So I still think he's got enough credits in the bank to get him through.
Yeah,
good
absolutely.
On you. Matt, appreciate your time as always, mate. Look forward to catching up with you soon. Matt Wimby there. It is 19 past 10, Sky Sports Radio, big day racing day. We've got Port Macquarie today, as well as Gossett, and Raymond Spokes heading off to Port Gerrard. He's with us now. Morning, Ray, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Pretty good, thank you. You got a nice book of rides here today. You've got a cord going around in a second. They tried a few things with this, pulled the bit lifter on, lugging bit off, tongue tie off. Have you ridden this before, Ray?
No, I haven't.
So they're trying a few little tinkering with a few little gear changes.
Yeah, the trainer said he thought he was venting his tongue tie and that, so he thought he'd just try a few different things.
And today, 1500. That's what I raced out when I ran fifth at Port the other day.
Yeah. Hopefully today the gear changes work and we can be up there in the first couple and find the line.
Well, it's a $14 chance with tab.com.au in race 3, number 8, Golden Chappie, trained by Paul Smith, a first starter. First starter is a 5-year-old mare, a $26 chance. Now, you rode it in a trial. How'd she fare?
Yeah, she trialled all right. Owners have just had a lot of troubles with this horse. They more or less just want to get her to the race and see what she can do.
I suppose once you get so far down the track, you might as well keep going with them, right? At least find out, hey?
Yeah, exactly. She's done a lot of things wrong and just hopefully we can get her doing the right things and make the owners happy.
Yeah, get some sort of reward from. Well, yeah, we wish the owners luck today if they're patient with that. All one class in race 4 you're on, and this has had a trial. It's first up. It's only had the 3 starts, but it did run third first up previously at Coffs Harbour.
Yeah. It's going on a little bit further this horse, I think, but Peter Race is a very smart trainer. You just never know when they're going to fire. And just hopefully they get it right and she goes good.
Race 5, number 8, drummed out. Well, first up today. It had a tough draw there in the Grafton Guineas and finished a fair way back, but it was good in its runs prior, though, their last prep.
Yeah, it was done really good last prep. In the Guineas, like you said, very bad, had no luck, and was probably due for the paddock as well.
All right, so today you go on Johnny Sprague's horse in race 6, I Believe in Miracles, and John's having a pretty fair run of late.
Yeah, his horses are going good, and hopefully they keep going good today.
Well, this one's third up from a spell, and it hasn't been getting beaten fast. It's been right on the hammer the last couple, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's all right, too, so hopefully we can just get a nice run and get to the line.
All right, now Ray, we're going to put you under the hammer here. What's your pick today? Anything stand out that you really like?
Oh, I think the nicer side's gummed out, but obviously it's going to be a bit short for it. As long as I think it'll run a really good race, and hopefully in the next 2 or 3 starts after this, it'll fire for him.
All right, so which one perhaps seed today? Maybe if punters have a bit of a little each way, and then follow up on it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, terrific. Good on you, Ray. Good luck today. Let's hope there's at least one winner there.
No, mate, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Raymond Spokes there today at Port Macquarie. We've got Gosford on as well. And, of course, Mudgee Cup tomorrow, that big Calcutta we're going to mention tonight too. Jared at the Oriental Hotel, great cause that's helping the Black Dog Institute. They got the Calcutta charity auction, the whole lot, at the Oriental Hotel tonight at Mudgee. And if you can support it in any way, shape or form, the money is going to a terrific cause, the Black Dog Institute there. I think it's a big day tomorrow at Mudgee too. It's a ripper.
Yeah, great cause, great day, great place, Mudgee, in the beautiful central west there in New South Wales. Great wine country, beautiful and green too. So they've had some rain, I think, out that way as well. So it should be a beautiful day there, hopefully, at Mudgee tomorrow. In fact, I think it's going to be a stinker across New South Wales tomorrow, weather-wise. So, look, get to the races and get under a nice shade of tree there and a nice cold beer, Cozzy. It'll be a beautiful day.
What more could you want?
Exactly right. Well, and also drummed out there, $10 chance. Race 5, number 8 for Raymond Spokes there. His best that he nominated, $10 with tab.com.au.
All righty, we'll take a break. Come back in a moment. 10:23 at Sky Sports Radio.
The Big Sports Breakfast going to Mudgee for the Cup. If you're going to, be sure to drop into the home of Mudgee Racing, the Oriental Hotel. The Oriental is one of Mudgee's most iconic and best-loved pubs, renowned for its fabulous food and welcoming atmosphere. Make the Oriental Hotel your destination for pre- and post-race celebrations. On Cup E Thursday, catch up with all your racing friends and catch the Ori courtesy bus to and from the races on Cup Day. The Oriental Hotel, your Mudgee Cup headquarters. Visit orientalhotel.com.au.
Every day you can rely on Sky Sports Radio to pass on the winning information. Trainers and jockeys discuss their chances on a wide array of programs. Take Brisbane trainer Chris Anderson on Elegant Composure.
I think she's really come on mentally. I think the penny's really started to drop. She is quite wound up.
Chris was right on the ball.
Elegant Composure in front of Private Secretary, and Elegant Composure's won the race from Private Secretary, and Beatnix has run third.
Get the right mail every day on Sky Sports Radio.
Let's get back to Tab Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
24 past 10 with Sean Cosgrove and Jared Middleton. The Australian PGA Championship getting underway at the Gold Coast Royal Pines Resort there today. And Brett Drewitt joining us now. Jared, morning. Brett, how are you?
Good morning, yourself?
Good, terrific. Now, what's the weather like there today? I would imagine blue skies, sunshine are perfect, is it?
Yes, it is blue skies, a little bit of breeze is up, and yeah, it's a great day for golf.
That little bit of breeze, does that worry at all at the Royal Pines or not?
No, it's just going to make it a good test of golf. I enjoy playing in the wind, so yeah, hopefully we can go out and have a good day today.
And Brett, confidence must be high at the moment. You're qualified for the PGA Tour, graduating out of the qualifying tour there just a couple of months back, and your first tournament on the tour there at the Safeway Open. Well, you finished 8 under par. The confidence must be quite high coming back home.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling really confident about this week, and you know it's just going to be good to be able to play in front of the family. I haven't been able to do that for a while since I've been over in America. And I've kind of had a week off after a long stretch at the end of the season there, and I'm definitely feeling refreshed today and ready to get out there.
Now, Brett, you're a Taree boy, aren't you?
Born in Taree, and I grew up in Inverell. Yeah.
Right. So, how did you get into golf when you were at school? What sports did you play?
I played cricket. I got into golf through my dad. When we moved out to Inverell when I was 7, he put a cut down 7-iron in my hand, and we had a bit of land on the piggery, so I just hit a golf ball around, and I came to love the game, and I just pretty much went from there. I just got better and better as I went on, and turned into a professional golfer now.
Just for kids listening at the moment and saying, wow, you know, or youngsters are playing the golf, when did you sort of realise that maybe this could be a career? What was the turning point?
Probably when I was 16, I had to make the choice between, you know, cricket and golf, and I chose golf because, you know, I love the game, and I just think the pathway in golf is so much better, and I pretty much thought that I'd give it a go, and I became a member at Longreef down in Sydney, played pennants, and my game just progressed every year, and when I made it into the national squad was probably when I really thought that, you know, I can give this a good run at being professional, and I did. So probably just from that.
No doubt it's a slog, though. And being on that web.com tour over in the States, give us an idea of how mentally difficult it is and the sacrifices you make travelling and just the week-to-week lifestyle on that tour as you try and get on the main tour.
Well, it's tough because, you know, you're not playing for a lot of money. You've got to go out there and go low. You know, cuts are normally around 4 or 5 under. So you can't afford to have a bad day. You need your bad days to be kind of 2 or 3 under so that you're at least still staying where you are or moving up the leaderboard a little bit. But definitely staying in hotels. We were lucky enough, my girlfriend and I, to stay with a lot of host families. So we'll save a lot of money that way. Mm. But it's a tough gig out there on the web because everyone's just going low, and definitely when 20 under is probably your average winning score out there, and you know 4 under is probably your average cut. So it is definitely tough, and I'm glad I'm not out there this year.
Brett, from your own point of view with your own game, so there'll be a lot of golfers listening to you at the moment. What area do you find in your game has improved the most over the last year or two that's enabled you to improve overall?
I'd probably say my pitching has probably improved a lot. I've given myself definitely inside 100 yards. I've given myself a lot more chances of birdie. My putting has definitely gotten a little bit more consistent. There's still a lot more work I want to do on my putting. I've always been a pretty good driver of the ball. So, but yeah, I led the ball striking for the web.com at the end of the season. So, you know, I've been a pretty good ball striker my whole career. And for me now, it's just about getting the ball in the hole and giving myself the best chances. And that's pretty much what I'm working on now is just trying to tighten everything up and get some better get some more chances when I get out there.
You know, it's interesting, just your answer then is the one we get probably from most professional golfers. Like Cameron Smith the other day said the same thing. What's the one thing? And he said pitching. That's the one that he finds he's got to work on the most.
Yeah. Well, you know, pitching, it also comes down to that's where you save your strokes too. So, you know, you hit a wayward shot, well, if you're a good pitcher of the ball and you're confident in it, well, you're looking at 70% of the chance looking at getting up and down and saving your path. And that's what keeps rounds going. You short side yourself in a bunker. If you're confident enough that you can hit the shot and get it close, well, it keeps a round going. And definitely, if you're sitting at 3 or 4 under on the round, you don't want to be given shots back. And definitely silly mistake. That's definitely that's probably why most people say that.
So Brett, 2 hours till you tee off. What's your routine before a round?
I just got finished going through a stretch and I've had breakfast, so I'm gonna go back and relax for a few minutes and probably about an hour and 15 minutes before I go out, I'll hit the putting green. And then I'll hit the putting green for about 20 minutes. I'll hit the chipping green for about 10-15 minutes and I'll be on the range about 40 minutes before my round. And then I'll go hit putts for about 5 minutes before I tee off. I try to keep it nice and simple. It's just about warming up the body and definitely just doing a lot of short game, really. It's just getting used to the greens. And then just when I get on the range, just hitting some shots that I'm going to need out there.
Now, Brett, we're looking at the scores that are coming through at the moment. You've got a whole heap who are one under or equal first or other. Ryan Fox, Popovic, Chambers, Waring, Sinnott, Johansson, Drakeford, they're all 3 under through a variety between 8 and 12. Adam Scott equal 10th at the moment, 1 under after 12.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen any of the scores yet, so I don't know. So I'm not sure how the golf course has been playing, there's some people going out there 3 under, and I don't know what the wind has been like this morning, but it's definitely starting to pick up a little bit this afternoon. And apparently, I saw something about some storms meant to come in, but hopefully they missed it.
Adam Scott, one of your dream foursome, I believe, you'd like to play golf with.
I'd love to play with Scotty, definitely. I'd like to pick his brains he's got such a nice swing and he's got a good attitude for the game. So, I try to idolise myself around Adam, definitely. If I didn't have half the career he's had, it would be great, but I definitely want to have a better one.
The other two, Rory McIlroy and the great Jack Nicklaus, you'd like to go around with.
Yeah, well, I'd like to play with Rory, he's got a nice swing as well, and I like to think that I've got a great swing. And he plays the game a lot different than what I do. He bombs the ball off the tee, it's kind of like 100%, 110% when he hits it. And then you've got Scotty, who's works his way around the golf course, and Jack Nicklaus is just one of the all-time greats. So I think you'd be silly not to want to play with Jack. And, if I could, I'd play a foursome. I would have put Arnie in there as well. I'd love to play with all those guys, definitely.
Now, I do have to smile because you're dropping names, mentioning names there, and you would play alongside some of the greatest golfers around. Yet,